Well, good morning, everybody. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and greetings to you from your brothers and sisters in Christ behind the walls of the South Dakota State. I am Pastor Jeff Backer, and I am blessed and honored to be able to serve the congregation that gathers behind the walls of the South Dakota State Penitentiary System. I am a senior pastor in this ministry, which means I don't do this ministry alone. We have three pastors, one here in Sioux Falls, myself, in Springfield, Pastor David Bentz, and in Yankton, Pastor Danny Joe Bierwagen. Each week, we offer worship services behind the walls of the South Dakota State Penitentiary System. Bible studies, pastoral care, all of those things. St. Dismas is really your ministry. It is your ministry that has called us behind the walls to serve those that are often forgotten, or even that may be thought of as undeserving. And this word does amazing things to people's lives. I would say at St. Dismas and Sioux Falls, when they climb the 33 steps out of the cell halls and they get to come up to Hope Chapel, they come as men. They come as children of God. They come as those that are not only redeemable, but have been redeemed in Jesus Christ. And up there, they hear that. They know that. It's a word that does very powerful things in people's lives. This week we're celebrating the baptism of our Lord, and at St. Dismas we did a very similar thing that we did this morning here. We were able to baptize 31 adult men this year at St. Dismas. That's the Holy Spirit doing some amazing work. We did 30 baptisms in Sioux Falls, one in Springfield this year. We also confirmed three guys. That's when guys come to you and say, hey, I want to be baptized Lutheran. And we say, well, are you baptized? Well, yes. Well, then you're baptized. Let's just make you understand what that means. So we confirmed three guys this year, too. It's an amazing thing to watch the Holy Spirit do this work. And again, it's your ministry. You make that possible. We can never, ever be self-sustaining as a ministry. Like I've said, my guys make 25 to 40 cents an hour. It costs them $1.25 to buy a bar of soap, and they're never going to be able to sustain the ministry themselves. You make that possible. And so first of all today, hear this. Thank you for your partnership, for your generosity, for the ways that you partner with us to make this possible, not just financially, but in your prayers, in thinking about us, in lifting us up into your community. I heard a couple weeks ago that Pastor Eric even mentioned us in a sermon in the middle of nothing, for no specific reason. But also that you come, you engage with us. We have a group that comes to Spirit of Joy a couple times, from Spirit of Joy a couple times a year. Come and visit us. Come and experience that. I know I'm a church nerd, but it's amazing to watch the Holy Spirit do what it does. And maybe even you'll get to witness a baptism and watch big, grown, tough men cry sometimes as this word impacts them. Though we'll never be self-sustaining, our guys are very, very generous. Last year, I think I told you, I challenged them that healthy congregations look outside themselves. And in 2022, they chose Church on the Street as their ministry focus, and they gave $1,001 to Church on the Street in 2022. This year, they're going to write a check for $2,271 to Church on the Street. That's over $100,000. Yeah. If their income was at minimum wage, that's over $100,000 in gifts. They're very, very generous, and they're very grateful for what God is doing in the presence of other ministries as well. And so again, thank you for your partnership and all the ways that you make our work possible. And again, come and see. It's what Christ tells you to do, right? Come and see. Come and witness this work that we are able to do together. So brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you this morning from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So what's in a name? Do you know how you received your name? Some of you may carry a family name. Maybe you carry the name of a grandparent or someone else that was special in your parents' lives when you were born. Now, when my wife and I were trying to decide on names for our boys, it was an arduous task. We didn't agree on much. They didn't end up with names that are any family names for their first names. They have nothing to do with our family. They're just good names, we think. But both of them did end up with middle names of their grandfathers. A name says something, doesn't it? What's your name? question that we're often asked, or maybe we ask others to try to get to know them. But names aren't for us specifically, are they? We did not call ourselves in the third person. I'm not up here saying, Pastor Jeff is preaching today, right? I'm saying, I'm preaching today. Names are for you, so that you get to know me and who I am, what we call each other. Well, the truth is, it's really no different for God either. I was thinking about this text and preparing to be with you today, and this sermon actually is an adaptation of the sermon that I gave the guys on Wednesday. The difference is, they come up to the chapel knowing that they're sinners and need to be forgiven. You, I have to convince your sinners to forgive you. A couple of years ago, Pastor Eric and I were at a conference that was led by Andy Root. Andy is a professor and an author and writes some great stuff. And he challenged us to think. He said, we go through life seeking moments to know that God is speaking into our lives. And God is still speaking. When a child is born, God speaks. When a death happens, God speaks. But above all, when we gather at the baptismal font, God speaks. So I ask you, how is God speaking into your life today? So this week we shifted from the season of Christmas or Christmastide to Epiphany. That was yesterday. This is January 6th. So we're now in this season referred to as the season of light. But in a literal sense, an epiphany is having something suddenly revealed to you. Can we all agree that that's the definition of that? Because this is exactly what the gospel is doing for us today. Because God is suddenly revealing who he is and what he's about. And we also hear God speak. Now, we wouldn't know who God was unless he told us, right? We wouldn't know who Jesus was unless we're told. So this is exactly what he is doing as Jesus steps into the waters of the Jordan River with John the Baptist. In the waters of the Jordan, Jesus is baptized by John, and as he's coming up out of the water, we hear that the heavens are torn open, that the Spirit descends on him like a dove, and dear old dad gives his son a good word, right? You are my son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. We get to witness the Father's affirmation of Jesus as his only son. We're also witness to God speaking into his son's life in a way that we also get to hear it spoken into our own, first when we came to the font and every time we gather around it for someone else. God doesn't do this so that Jesus knows who he is. He does it so that we know who he is. Ultimately, what God is doing is telling the world of his faithfulness to his son and to all he chooses. Now remember that the Gospel of Mark starts off with this good line, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus epiphanies or reveals himself so that you would know that he is the one, that one. The one that is present before creation even began. The one who is spoken of throughout the whole gospel of the Old Testament. Yes, I said gospel of the Old Testament. It's always talking about Jesus. He's the one who came born of a virgin woman, 100% human and 100% God, the mystery of God. He's the one that would suffer and die to rescue you from sin, death, and the devil. Yes, he's the one. And now the baptism by John the Baptist that we hear of throughout the end of Advent and into Christmas was one of repentance. That is, it was a baptism of preparation for the one to come. Baptism is for sinners. It's as simple as that. Though Jesus had no sin, he's baptized by John. Stirs a question, doesn't it? Why is Jesus baptized then? So when I ask this question, and I asked my guys this when we had Bible study the other day, I hear a lot of responses as to what Jesus' baptism means. And the most common response that I think I hear is that Jesus is giving us an example to follow. But the scriptures tell us specifically why Jesus was baptized. 2 Corinthians 5, he that knew no sin became sin. So for the sake of your soul, for the fact that your life literally hangs in the balance between eternal life and eternal damnation, our understanding of why Jesus was baptized is important. He was not giving you an example to follow. Though much of the church approaches baptism in a very legalistic mindset, is something you need to do, something more for you to accomplish. No, Jesus was baptized because he takes on the sin of the world, that is all people. That is, he takes on your sin, your actual sin, your stinking, death-dealing sin, and he dies for it. Jesus identifies in your sinful condition something which he continued to do throughout his life and his ministry into his death and into his resurrection, and Jesus still identifies with your sinful condition. The ways you do not trust God, the things that separate you from God, your free will, which of course everybody thinks they have, and they do. It's called sin. He literally is telling God, I don't need you right now. At the core of what's going on here is that Jesus identifies with your sinful condition because it's not your sin any longer when you've been baptized into Christ. It's his sin. You just keep stealing it back. And at the core also is that he died for it to release you from it. And in baptism, and in Jesus' own baptism, he's raised in a promise that he's held and that you're held in as well. It's the very same promise that claims each and every one of you when you were baptized into Christ. And that promise is that sin, death, and the devil does not have a claim on you. Jesus does. And because Jesus is the Son of the beloved Father and the beloved Son of the Father, by being made one with him, you are one with the Father. Baptism is where it happens. Jesus is baptized so that you are made one with him. And this is where his name is placed upon you, and you become his name. You have his name. Because the name of the triune God is a powerful thing. It does things. It moves people. It speaks in places that we don't often like to think about. It is the name of God who created the world, who sustains the world, and who saves the world. I have 31 guys who will attest to that, that their world is entirely different because of that word. So a splash of water, while it may seem meager and inconsequential, maybe even very ordinary, it is extraordinary. Because it is water infused with God's word and God's name. And in baptism, we also make the sign of the cross. This is part of what we celebrated here today, that those that are baptized have that cross placed on their forehead as a blessing that reminds them that they're claimed in the blood of Jesus Christ and nothing else has a claim on them. Reminding them what God has done and accomplished, that he has accomplished all that was necessary. Baptism is an assurance. It's a certainty. Do you ever think about that? It's a certainty. So that you would know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God claims you and that you're his. He marks you with water, he marks you with his word, and he marks you with his son's cross. Not just today or tomorrow or for a month or a year, but for an eternity. That's forever, people. In baptism, God opens heavens and announces for all to hear who his son is, but he also does the same thing every time we come around the font as he opens heaven again and declares a child of God. Named in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a powerful thing. It makes a difference in people's lives. So there you have it. It's as simple as that. Heaven is opened, and God lays claim to each one of you. Because you are baptized into Christ, and you are connected to both his life and his death. And this isn't just so you know who you are, it's so the world knows who you are and whose you are. God the Father declares this because of his beloved Son. And God declares it because you are beloved as well. And because you are connected to him, your judgment is finished. And you have a place at his heavenly table. He invites us sinners to his table every time we get a chance. You guys do it every week, which I love that. Christ invites sinners to his table, and it's a table of faithfulness. To know that we encounter the sacramental God, that is the incarnate God that comes to us in body and blood, in bread and wine. To secure your promise again, to know that sins are forgiven. It's why we gather. It's why we come to this place. So that he can do this work for us again and again. So for your watchword for this year or all of life is, I am baptized. It is a confident confession. It is a bold confession. It is a confession that gives strength and comfort in every time of need, whether your life is going well and times when it is not. God has spoken, and he calls you by name. May the knowledge of this certainty leave you refreshed. Thanks be to God. Amen.